2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where we'll be at today. We're going to focus on verses 18 through verse 21. Okay, so I want you to turn there. And as I read the text, I want you to look at what it's saying, and then I'm going to preach from it. Does that sound all right? I'm going to try to explain it to you, and so that you'll have an understanding of it. I don't think there's any more important text in the Scripture than this text. All Scripture is important, but especially this one, because of what it deals with. You ready? Verse 18, look down at it in your Bible, if you have one. If you can't find the text, don't try to. Just listen to me. It says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and He's given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Let us pray. Father, again, we're thankful for these people here today, and I pray that you enjoyed the singing this morning, and I pray that that was pleasing to you. We enjoyed singing to you, Lord, because we have a home with you, and because you prepared us a place on the cross, and now because of you, we have a place that we'll go to one day, either by death or by rapture. And we're so thankful for the great hope of heaven, Lord, that you've given to us. And Father, as now that your word has been read, as we begin to move into the preaching part, Lord, I realize that I'm just clay and dust, and I can't do anything, Lord, without you. And Lord, I consider it the highest honor in the world to be able to stand before these people with this book of yours open and minister. I don't think there's any greater honor in the planet other than being saved than be able to minister your word. But Lord, I pray that it would have free course today. I pray that the hearts of the folks would be open. For anybody here today that's unsaved, Lord, we pray that you would take and open their hearts, that they would be able to see the meaning of these great texts as we begin to break the bread of life to them. And Lord, we pray that perhaps that through this message we would become closer to you as Christians, and that we would worship you today, Lord, in spirit and in truth. Forgive us, O great King, for the way that we've sinned against you, both in public and in secret. We pray that you forgive us for all of those things, sins of the man, sins of omission, that we may be able to worship you today as we should. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to title this message today, Reconciliation. Reconciliation. And of course, Ed, there's no wonder we had entitled that, because in verses 18 through 21, it uses the term reconciled or reconciliation five different times. Whenever you see Scripture repeat itself over and over again, it's putting an emphasis on that particular word. The most important thing in the world, I want you to hear this from me, the most important thing in the world is to be reconciled to God. There's nothing that takes priority over that, and nothing any more important than that. And what this text does, indeed, is it shows you how that you can be reconciled to God. You can really place two groups, or I could write two columns up here today, and I'm going to divide the congregation. I know you're already divided by now, but I'm going to divide you by reconciliation this morning. You're either reconciled to God, you're either under the reconciled column, and if you are under the reconciled column, then you need to thank God for that before this service is over. Thank God if you're reconciled. Or you fall under the unreconciled column. See? Now, I've already stated that the most important thing in the world is to be reconciled to God. So what this text is going to do is show you how that happens. I'm going to give you an outline, and you go ahead and write this down. I'm going to show you the need of reconciliation. I'm going to show you why you need to be reconciled, and you need to be reconciled today. As a matter of fact, you need to be reconciled, if you're not reconciled, before I'm even done preaching. It's that important. I'm going to show you the need of reconciliation. Number two, I'm going to show you the way of reconciliation. How God reconciles sinners to Himself. I'm going to show you how He does it. And then number three, I'm going to talk about the ambassadors of reconciliation. You got that? Those are 3 points. The need of reconciliation, the way of reconciliation, and the ambassadors of reconciliation. Those are the 3 points. You write those down, and if someone asks you what the preacher preached on, you can tell them all 3 points. Okay? All right, let's talk about the need of. Now, to show you why you need to be reconciled, I'm going to have to turn you to another text. So, if that's all right, you keep your hand right here and just turn back to the book of Romans. Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Now, so you can see about where you need to turn to. And if you can't find things very fast, don't try. You'll get lost looking and won't hear what I'm saying. And what I'm saying is what you really need to hear today with regard to reconciliation. Why do you need to be reconciled? Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Why do you need to be reconciled? Now, this is one of those texts of Scripture that sounds alarming, I think. It alarmed me whenever I first read it, because you really don't hear a lot of preaching on this particular subject about how God views you. How God views you. Now, often you hear God loves everyone, and God does, in a sense... God does show His love to everyone, and He provides for everyone, the sun and the rain and all those things. But God is very rarely viewed as a God of wrath today. Do y'all agree? He's very rarely ever viewed as a God of wrath. Now, the reason why that you need to be reconciled, number one, is because if you're not reconciled, listen to what I'm about to say, you're God's enemy. Now, I want that to sink down, and I want you to think about what I just said. Now, I know you don't hear that a lot, but that is, in fact, what the Scriptures do teach. I'm preaching on reconciliation. I'm showing you why you need it. You need it because you're God's enemy. And His wrath is upon you because of your sin. That's why you need to be reconciled. You know, it's one thing to holler at somebody and say, hey, you need to be saved. Well, what do I need to be saved? And you need to be saved because you're God's enemy. And His wrath is upon you. So so let's go back to our column here. If you're reconciled, you're no longer God's enemy. You have peace with God. If you're unreconciled, then you're God's enemy and His wrath abides upon you. And you're alienated from God. You fall under one of those two categories. You say, well, Jeff, isn't there a middle ground? No. No, you either fall under one or the other. Now look at Romans 5:10, and here's the text I was going to read. I'm going to come back to this so you keep your place in it. Notice what it says in verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. So it says we were what? We were enemies. Paul's talking about himself. He's addressing the church at Rome, and he's addressing them too. We were enemies. Now, before I was saved, I was an enemy. I was alienated. The wrath of God was upon me because of my sin. That's why I needed to be reconciled, and that's what you need to see today. You need to see your standing before God. Because the way I look at it, maybe before you're saved, you look at it the same way. I'm not that bad. I'm just as good as that person sitting in the pew down here at Elizabeth Baptist Church. I don't really need that. I'm a good dad, or I'm a good mom, and you know, I give money to the poor, and I'm good to my mommy. I'm a good person, Jeff. The Scripture reveals if you've never been reconciled, I want you to understand, the Scripture's revealed if you've never been reconciled that you're God's enemy. That's what the Scripture says. That's not what Jesus said. Well, if you leave today and said, and say, well, you know, Jeff said that I was the Lord's enemy, you'd be wrong. The Bible says that you're the Lord's enemy. That's if you're not reconciled. That's if you're not reconciled. I'm just showing you why you need it. There was a day and a time in my life where I realized my standing. You see, you don't seek help till you realize you're sick, do you? Wouldn't do me a bit of good to tell you that you was all right if you're not all right. But there was a day in my life that I realized I was God's enemy. His wrath was upon me. I realized that. And then it caused me to seek the Holy Spirit used that to cause me to seek the salvation, which is in Christ Jesus. So that's what it says. Now let me show you one more text that says the same thing, so you won't say, well, he just used one text. One text is enough. But I want you to turn to the book of Colossians chapter 1, and we'll turn back to this one too later. Colossians chapter 1. Notice what it says in this one too. Colossians 1, and let's notice at verse 21. And you, now here he's talking to another church, actually two, Laodicea and the church at Colossae. It says in verse 21, and you who were sometime, what does it say? Alienated, that means away from God, distanced away from God, and enemies in your mind by wicked works. That's Colossians 1 and verse 21. So there's two verses that states what your condition was before you were saved. You was alienated, you was an enemy, you was under a curse. All right, now, that shows you why you need it, isn't it? If you're God's enemy, then you can see why you need to be reconciled to Him. Now, this shows you what it means to be reconciled. So if you're writing down notes, write this as a definition. To be reconciled means to go from being an enemy, to go from being an enemy of God, to being at peace with God. That's what it means to be reconciled. That's what happened to me the day I was saved. And that's what it means to be saved. To go from being an enemy of God to being at peace with God. I'm thankful for that today, aren't you? Whenever someone's dying and somebody wants a preacher to go speak to their dad or their mom or son or their daughter, whoever it might be, and one, you know why they're wanting you to do that? We're wanting that person, if they're getting ready to pass, we want to make sure that they are reconciled to God and have made their what? Sometimes people come out and say, Jeff, have they made their peace? Made their what? Made their peace. Peace with who? Peace with God, because you're God's enemy. So that's what it means to be reconciled. To go from being an enemy, to being at peace with God. That's what it means to be reconciled. So that's why I say today, if you're saved, you can thank God if you are. And if you're not, you need to seek the Lord today and listen to this message and receive the reconciliation. There's been reconciliation provided for God's people. There's been reconciliation made. And we're going to show you what it is today. So everybody see the need? Let's go ahead and move in to number two then. Look at verse back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's go ahead and go to our second point. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So you see the need of it. Now let's go ahead and look at the text, verse 18. All things are of God. Does everybody see that in verse 18? All things are of God. He's talking about reconciliation there. In order to be reconciled, in order for God to take those that were His enemies and under His wrath, having broken His law, in order to take them and bring them to a position of peace, God had to do something. God's the initiator of reconciliation. I must say this morning that our God is the author of reconciliation. He's the innocent party. You know, sometimes when to have reconciliation, you got two people that are odds with one another, you know. And then both of them has done something wrong. Not in this case. The problem is all on us. But it's God the one that makes the move to bring us to Himself. So that's when it says that all things are of God, that means He's the author of reconciliation. He's the one that brings it to pass. He's the one that brought it in your life. So He's the one. That's why it says that all things are of God. Now, in order for Him to reconcile, God, of course, is the author. He's the divine planner of reconciliation. In order to reconcile us, here's what we needed. We needed a mediator. I can't be your mediator in that sense. We needed a mediator. We needed someone to be able to bring us to God. That's what we needed. We needed someone to take care of us being an enemy in order to bring us to God. And that someone, if you look at the text, notice what it says, 2 Corinthians 5:18, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. Does everybody see that? So how does He reconcile you? He reconciles you by Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, you can't be reconciled. Listen to what I just said. Jesus Christ is the mediator that God provided to be the go-between between us and God, to bring us to God. So if you're going to have reconciliation, you have to have Jesus Christ. There's no other place you can go and get it. He's the only mediator. Oh, matter of fact, there's a scripture that says that, doesn't it? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says there's one mediator between God and man. And that mediator is Jesus Christ. He's our go-between. So if we're going to go to the Father, then it has to be through the mediator. So the author of reconciliation is the Father, and the Father provided the mediator, which is His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how does He bring about this reconciliation? Let's watch it. It tells us all about it in the text. How does He bring about that reconciliation? Look at verse 21. He made Him to be sin for us. He made Him to be sin for us. Everybody see where it says for us? How does He bring about reconciliation? How does He bring it about? Well, He provided a mediator. Well, how does that mediator bring about a reconciliation? God made Him to be sin for us. You know, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, I'd pay for my own sin. Boy, I have many of them, don't you? Many. And of course, you only have to make one to be a breaker of His law anyway. We've been talked about that in the past. One sin makes you a sinner. One sin makes you an enemy. One sin makes you cursed. One sin makes you in need of reconciliation. And I'm telling you this morning, there's only one mediator that brings about reconciliation, and that's Jesus Christ. Apart from Jesus, now listen to me, this is very important. Apart from Jesus, you can't be reconciled to God. Apart from Him, there's no other way you can be. That's why in Acts 4:12 it says, there's none other name written among men, under heaven, written among men, whereby ye can be saved. He's it. Now, if you try to be reconciled, you say, well, I'm going to go out here today, Jeff, and I'm going to quit cussing, and I'm going to go out here today, and I'm not going to drink another drop, which that would all be wonderful. But that's not what reconciles you to God. That's not going to do it. That's not going to take care of your sin problem. That's not going to take care of your sin debt. And there's a lot of people trying to be reconciled by God that way. I'm not going to do anything else wrong. Well, first of all, you'll probably get out in the parking lot and break that. But I'm going to tell you right now this morning, there's no other way you can be reconciled to God apart from Jesus Christ. He's the only means that the Father provided to reconcile a sinner, to go from being an enemy to being at peace. Jesus Christ is the go-between that brings that about. And what the Father did is 2,000 years ago, when He sent Him to die on the cross, He made Him a sin offering for us. Rather than me paying my own sin debt, which is exactly what I deserve to do, He bestowed upon me His mercy and grace, and He provided a mediator, a go-between. And what God did is He took all of my sin and He charged that to Jesus Christ. He made Him a sin offering. Now, a sin offering is really an Old Testament term, really, if you want to think about it. They have the Day of Atonement. Have you ever heard the Great Day of Atonement in the Old Testament? Heard of that? I've taught on it in the past. Well, have you ever heard the term scapegoat? You ever heard the term scapegoat? It comes from the Great Day of Atonement. What Israel did once a year, and it's all it did was a picture of Jesus, but once a year, Yom Kippur, the Great Day of Atonement, it's one of their religious holidays. What they did is the high priest of Israel took two goats. And he took one, and they killed it. They shed its blood. And they caught it in a bowl. And that one goat was a sin offering. Rather than the people of Israel dying for their sin, see the picture? This goat was a substitute. And it pictured our substitute. Who's our substitute? Jesus. He's our sin offering. To be reconciled to God, you've got to have a sin offering. Without the sin offering, you'll never be reconciled. Do you hear what I mean? All right, they shed that blood of that goat and they catch it in the basin. They'd go inside the Holy of Holies and then they'd sprinkle the blood once upon the mercy seat and seven times before it. And it was said that that blood made the atonement for the people for that year. And you know they did that every year, continually. He'd go inside the Holy of Holies and he'd make atonement year by year continually. And that blood made the atonement for their sin. You see the picture? What reconciled them? What made it? It was the sin offering did it. See, not actually that sin offering, but the sin offering that it pictured would do it. Now you'll remember that whenever once Jesus died on the cross, cried out, "It is finished." You remember what the Bible said? That same veil that the high priest went behind was ripped from the top to the bottom. No more atonements. Jesus, once for all sacrifice, accomplished the means of reconciling His people to Him through that one sacrifice. So that goat was a sin offering. Well, they took another live goat, and that goat was called the scapegoat. And the high priest would lean on it, and he had confessed the sins of Israel on that thing. And when he put his hands on it, it was a picture of all those sins being transferred to that goat. And then they'd take that scapegoat out in the wilderness and they'd just let it go into a land uninhabited, meaning picturing a removal of their sins. Folks, this morning Jesus was our scapegoat. Rather than Jeff Arthur going to hell and paying for his sins forever, Jesus bore our sins on Calvary's cross. He was made to be sin for us. In order for me to be reconciled to God, in order for an old hell-bound sinner like Jeff Arthur to be reconciled to God, I had to have a mediator. Something had to be done about my sin problem. And Jesus is it. And He was made to be sin. That's what it says in 5:21, isn't it? He was made to be sin for us. Okay? He was our sin offering. Now notice on up in the text, it says that same thing in a little bit different way. Notice verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, He was reconciling the world, that's Gentile as well as Jew, unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. You see where it says, not imputing their trespasses unto them? I want to say it one more time. Not imputing their trespasses unto Him. This is what it means to be reconciled. God's the author of it. He provided the mediator, the Lord Jesus. How's He going to reconcile us? Well, if He's going to reconcile Jeff Arthur, He's going to have to do something about his sin. Well, He provided His Son to do that. He made His Son my sin offering. And then my trespasses, what the verse say? He doesn't impute them to me. You're saying, Jeff, He didn't charge you with your sin? No. Impute means He charges your sin to the substitute. Somebody say amen. He charged your sin to the substitute. That's how He reconciles you, Brother Doug. Without Christ, your sin still remains. So He made Him to be sin, and then He don't impute your iniquity to you, your trespasses to you. Brother Ains, He takes all your iniquities and your sins, your shortcomings, your transgressions, all of them, and He imputes them to Jesus Christ. And 2,000 years ago, He took care of them. Romans 4 said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. He doesn't charge it to you. He charged it all to His Son. Everybody see that? That's the only way you can be reconciled. Now, it doesn't stop there. Let's go ahead and look on in the text, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's notice on down into verse 21. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. All right, there's two parts to that, like we've talked about many times in the past. How's He reconcile you? If He's going to reconcile you, you need two things. If you're going to have a peace with God, if you're going to have a right standing with God, something has to be done about your sin. Something has to be done about you being an enemy. Well, He provided His Son to take care of your sin problem. But you have to have something else. You have to have something else. You have to have righteousness. You have to have righteousness in order to be right with God. His law demands it. But you have to have 100% righteousness. You say, Jeff, I can't do that. You know what? I can't either. I've sinned. I'm a transgressor. I was God's enemy. He provided His Son to take care of that sin problem. And He became my sin offering. He took all my sins and imputed to Him. But then He took all of His righteousness. How righteous was Jesus? We know to say 100% now, don't we? He takes all of Jesus' righteousness and He charges that to me. You see. And when that happens, you're reconciled to God. You're at peace with God. How did you get it? Through Jesus Christ. He took care of your sin problem and He gave you His righteousness. Now listen to me. You don't get nothing out of this message. This is what I want you to get. My friend, it's not your righteousness that takes you to heaven. It's Christ's righteousness. You can't do enough. There's so many people, religious people out here today trying to earn heaven by their good deeds. And the bad part of that is they can't be reconciled without this mediator. It's Jesus that gets you there, not you. And when you trust the mediator, then you got peace with God because He takes care of your sin problem and He gives you His righteousness. Oh, God's people say it. Isn't that awesome? That's how you get reconciled to Him. Now, let me show you back the text now. Turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Let's turn back to that text and let me show it to you. And I'll show you what that, this is just, I'm going to show you, this is what the Scriptures teach. Colossians chapter 1 and verse, let's begin at verse 20. Now watch this, folks. I want you to listen to what this text says. This is not my book that I wrote. This is God's Word. I want you to hear what it says. Verse 20. Having made peace. Isn't that what being reconciled is, to be at peace with God? Having made peace through the blood of His cross. Everybody say it. Having made peace through the blood of His cross. By Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, I say, whether they be in heaven or things in earth, and you, now watch this, you who were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy. Now listen to what this says. He's going to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable, in His sight. You say, my, how can a sinner be presented holy, unblameable, and unreprovable? You got to be in Christ. You got to be in Him. That's the only way you can be. That's why Paul wrote in Philippians 3, I want to be found in Him. Not having my own righteousness, which is by the law, but the righteousness which comes by faith. Well, Jeff, how do you get this done? How do you get reconciled? I told you about it. I told you, I showed you the need for it. And then I showed you the way of it, how God provided that mediator, His Son. He imputed your sins to Him. And then He imputes His righteousness to you. But how do you receive that? Isn't that what it comes down to? How do you get that done? How do you get reconciled? I want to be reconciled, don't you? I told you there's nothing any more important than being reconciled. Now, how do you get reconciled? What do you got to do? Well, folks, you get reconciled to God by faith. Faith in Christ. Believing in Christ. Trusting that He died on the cross for you and rose again the third day. Turn to the book of Romans chapter 5. Let me show you that. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Look at verse 1. Let it speak to you now. Let it speak to you down in your heart. Therefore, look what it says in verse 1. Therefore, being justified. Now, the word justified means declared righteous. That's what it means. Declared righteous. Now, what I just described to you, your sins imputed to Christ, His righteousness charged to you, that's justification. God declares you righteous based on what Jesus did for you. The only way you can be justified. No other place you can go for it. Okay? Now notice what it says. Therefore, being justified, how? What's it say? By faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you have peace. When you're at peace with God is when you're reconciled. And without Jesus Christ, you can't be. How do I get that, Jeff? Faith in Jesus Christ. You quit trying to save yourself. You stop trying to save yourself. You can't. And you put your sole hope of heaven in the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you trust Him, God takes care of your sin problem. He charges you, His charges to you His righteousness. He declares you justified, and then you have peace with God. Hey, have you ever wondered how the thief on the cross could go to heaven? Same way you go to heaven. God reconciled him through Jesus. What about his sin? Jesus paid for it. What about righteousness? He gave him his. I've heard preachers say or heard people say, well, I don't put much stock in them deathbed confessions. That's people who think they're saving themselves. That thinks because they have a whole record of doing good all their life, they're going to earn heaven. They're going to be lost if they're trusting their deeds. There's only one reconciler. The only one way you can get enough righteousness to go to heaven, there's only one way you can get all your sins paid for, and that's only in Jesus Christ. That's what the Scriptures teach. That's how you get reconciled. Everybody see it? That's the only way you can be. If there was another way, I'd tell you, but you won't find no other way in that book. It's Jesus from Genesis all the way through Revelations. And He even painted you a picture of it by saving the thief on the cross. You can look at him and clearly see that he wasn't saved by his works or his deeds. He was saved by grace in Jesus Christ. Everybody can see that. Are you reconciled today? Are you reconciled? Jesus is Jacob's ladder. Have you ever heard of Jacob's ladder? In the Gospel of John, Jesus was talking to Nathanael and he said, henceforth you'll see angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man, talking about himself. You know, another place in Scripture where it talks about angels ascending and descending is in the book of Genesis. And in the book of Genesis, Jacob had a dream. And he had seen a ladder. It's really not a ladder. It's probably stair steps. And stair steps that went from earth to heaven. Wouldn't you like to find that stairway? It's a stairway he's seen that went from earth, then went all the way to heaven. And angels was coming down it, and angels was going up it. It's called Jacob's Ladder. Do you know who Jacob's Ladder is this morning? The Jacob's Ladder is Jesus Christ. He bridged the gap between earth and heaven by standing in the middle and taking care of our sin debt and reconciled us to God. He's Jacob's Ladder. I love that saying. He took two pieces of wood and three nails and he built a bridge to heaven. And it's through him. The only way you can be reconciled is trusting. There has to be a day and a time that you've trusted Jesus as your Savior. Talking to Miss Betty before services, she talked about the day she was saved. One of the things she said, Lord, Lord, I'll go to hell if you don't save me. And Lord, give her peace. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you've got to realize that Jesus is it, not you. He's not part of it. He's all of it. Are you reconciled to God this morning? Have you trusted the Messiah, the Lord Jesus? Well, let's look at the third point and we'll close. Now, let's talk about the ambassadors of reconciliation. We looked at the way of it and the need for it. Turn back to 2 Corinthians 5 and let's talk about the ambassadors of it. Notice what it says. Verse 20. It says that we are ambassadors for Christ. Everybody see that? An ambassador. I like that word, don't you? An ambassador for Christ. And it goes on and says in verse 18 that He has committed to us, latter part of verse 19, I'm sorry, He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Well, what's an ambassador? We got ambassadors here in the United States from almost every country in the world. Ambassador from China, Russia, Israel, everywhere. And an ambassador represents his country to another country. We that have received reconciliation are his ambassadors. Those that have received reconciliation have committed unto them the ministry of reconciliation. We represent Christ. You know, if the president would call me, which I seriously doubt if he will, but if he'd call me and say, Jeff, I would like for you to be the ambassador to Canada. I'd probably say no, but I'd rather be preaching. But I'd probably say no. But I'd say I would consider that an honor. Would you? You being called to represent the King of Kings, and He's committed to your trust the ministry of reconciliation, the word of reconciliation. Having been reconciled, folks, I want other people to be reconciled. You know, when something good happens to you, or if you've experienced something good, you want other people to do it too. You eat at a good restaurant, you can't wait to go tell your guys at work how nice the food is there and how good the service is, can we? You go see a good movie or something, if there is one out there. If you go see a good movie somewhere, or here, you can't wait to come and tell other people about it. Well, we've been reconciled to God. We are no longer God's enemy. We are at peace with God. We want other people to be at peace with God too and have the same future that we have. Be going to the same place that we're going, do we not? We're ambassadors. You know, an ambassador is someone from another country. Folks, listen to me. We're pilgrims and strangers here. I'm just passing through. I'm not going to be here real long. Man, I don't know how long I'm going to live. I like to think, I hope Jesus comes before I die. But if He don't, I'm going to, you know, I'm what, 47? 70 used to seem like 10,000 years old to me when I was younger. But now that I'm 47, I sat there the other day and I thought, ooh, 23 years, Dean. That's not real long. Well, folks, I'm just passing through here anyway. This old place, listen now, this old place ain't my final home. I'm a pilgrim. That's why he says you're a pilgrim and a stranger here. We're just passing through. Temporary. This is a temporary dwelling place. But while you're here, my friend, you need to be reconciled to God so that you'll go to an eternal dwelling place. And unless you have peace with God, you won't. So He's give that to us. You never punch out at being an ambassador. You know, an ambassador goes, if it comes to the United States, he goes and has his meetings, you know, and that they have. But when he leaves that meeting hall and he goes down, drives down the street, you know why he's driving down the street? He represents his nation. When he goes in and sits down and eats dinner, he represents his nation. Everywhere he goes, he's an ambassador. Folks, the same thing is true of us that's been reconciled to God. Everywhere we go, we're His ambassadors. We represent Him on our jobs. We represent Him when we're driving. We represent Him when we're sitting down at the dinner table. We represent Him in the home. We represent, young people, you represent Him at school. We need ambassadors for Christ at school. We represent Him in our conduct, in our speech, in our actions. What kind of ambassador are you? What kind of ambassador? You know, if you had an ambassador here from China, and he drove down the road and he's cussing everybody out and he had a bottle hanging out the window where he's drinking, what would you say? Boy, he ain't a very good ambassador. They need to get somebody. You represent Christ. The good, and that's good and bad. You can either represent Him well and bring honor to Him, or you can represent Him bad. We want to represent Him well to bring glory to Him. That's why you do your good works after you're saved. Not to bring glory to yourself, but to bring glory to the one that reconciled you. That's why you do it. That's why you do it. We have a message. We have a message that people need to hear. I just preached it. Reconciliation through the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have that. Now we need to share it. We need to tell other people about it. He said, Jeff, that's hard to do. I understand that, but there's different ways you can do it. You can invite people to church to hear it. There's been a lot of people who've been invited to church here, heard the message out of the pulpit and was saved. A lot of people that way. A lot of people that way. But the person that invited them had just as much a part in it as I did in preaching it. We didn't do the salvation, the Holy Spirit did, but you invited them here. You bring people to the message. We got CDs you can give people, sermons, you know, that they can listen to the message. There have been people saved through the CD ministry. People saved by reading a tract. And by one-on-one talks with folks. You know what it is? We're ashamed. We're afraid. We're so afraid to talk to people about the Lord. It ain't going to break your arm to bring it up. I'm a lot more bolder than I once was, but if I'm working with someone very long, or I did, wouldn't be long, I'd say, hey, do you go to church, or do you? I just try to bring it up. Do you go to church or anything? Do you ever think about the things of the Lord? And then you look and see if there's a door open there. See, if there's a door there, then you go through it. You edge a little bit further. Don't be ashamed to ask folks a few questions. Now, pretty much, if you know, years ago, I used to beat around the bush a good bit. But now, if I go to a hospital and I'm talking to someone, I just come in and sit down, and I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur from Elizabeth Baptist Church, and I've come here to talk to you about the Lord. That's why I'm here. Would that be all right? Would that be all right? Not yet. Now, I figure it's going to happen. But up to this point, everybody said, yeah, go ahead. I'd like to hear about it. Yes, share that with me. Don't go in and talk about West Virginia football and all these other goofy things that don't make a bit of difference as far as you being reconciled. Get to it. Do you know the Lord? I just, in a humble way, I want to talk to you about the Lord. And if there's a door there, take it. If it's not, then you know whether it's not. But Mike, don't be ashamed to ask. All right. You're an ambassador. Message on reconciliation. The need for it. The way of it. And the ambassadors of it. That's the whole church is ambassadors of it. We're supposed to be sharing that with people. Let's all stand.